So we have our guest that called in.
Oh,
so cool. I would like to introduce Mr. Rob Nagel. He's not on yet. I haven't. Oh, okay. He's still on mute. I'm introducing him.
No, that's because you don't have your headsets on. That's
oh, I'll have them on. I'll have them on in a second. Yeah. So, Mr. Rob Nagel, he's in the new show, Church and State, which is going to be at New World Stages in New York. So, Mr. Nagel, are you there?
I am here. How are you today?
Doing very well.
We are great. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
A pleasure. Very good, very good, and happy to be had.
Thank you so much. So I'm very, very interested in this show. I've been reading up on it this morning and last night, and a show that is very, very relevant to this day and age.
And yes, everything seems to be relevant to this day. No matter what you do, you could sneeze and it's relevant today. It's amazing.
You're right. It doesn't change.
Right. But, you know, especially you having done this show, that this is your second production?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So
I did a production last fall, June through September in Los Angeles, the world premiere of it, and I'm lucky enough to be back in New York now doing it off-Broadway.
So for people that are not familiar with the story, if you can give us a little bit of background on what the show's about.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, with a title like Church and State, you're probably thinking it's a boring diatribe about the separation between the two things or the lack of separation between the two things. But it's not that at all. It's actually a story about a North Carolina Republican senator who's up for re-election for his second term. And there's a school shooting in his hometown. Where his kids go, about 29 dead, very much like Newtown, Sandy Hook. And at a funeral for one of the kids, a reporter asks if he turned to prayer in his time of need. And for the first time in a very long time, he answers honestly. And that's the jumping off point for the show. And it's surprisingly profoundly funny. There's a lot of humor in this material when you wouldn't have thought so when you're talking about, you know, the Second Amendment and school shootings and faith in God. But it sometimes plays like a situation comedy because it deals with the heavy issues with a very deft hand. Our writer Jason Odell Williams is brilliant at being able to turn from comedy to drama on a dime. And so the audience goes on this roller coaster ride and thinks and feels and laughs and cries. And it's one of the most wonderful plays I've been able to work on in my career. That's the best way I can describe it without giving anything away.
What brought you to the material in the first place?
Dumb luck, actually. I was in Los Angeles, you know, plugging away and pounding pavement and working between theater and film and television and commercials. And a friend, colleague, director reached out to me and said, "So I'm doing this play. It's the world premiere of this play at the Skylight Theater. Her name is Alina DeSantos, and she and artistic director Gary Grossman said we're going to do this show and do it rather soon. Would you take a look at the senator?" And I read it, and I couldn't put the play down. I just kept
great.
Kept laughing and turning the pages and turning the pages. And by the end of it, I said, "Oh no, I think I'm in trouble. I've got to do this one." And so I jumped on board and was fortunate enough to meet the writer in that way.
Where is the Skylight? Is that up in NoHo?
It's in kind of East Hollywood. In, they call it Los Feliz, or Los Feliz, if you want to pronounce it properly.
Yeah. They pronounce it Los Feliz, yeah.
What was that?
I said, no, it's Los Feliz if you live out there. They don't believe in anything Spanish at all.
Exactly. That's correct. So it was a wonderful experience between June and September of last year, and then I did everything I could to make my way to New York to be able to do it again, because my feeling is the play talks about and brings into light conversation that we really need to have in this country right now. So I'd like to see it go to Florida. I'd like to see it go to North Carolina and Texas and Colorado and Oregon and Minnesota and get people talking about what it means to find consensus in our politics again.
Yeah.
You know.
Good luck with that.
Good luck. I know some people call it a fantasy, but you know there are a number of people who are starting
that,
to speak out.
That and a two-state solution for the Middle East. Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, just put them next to each other.
We either keep fighting or we find a way to cross our boundaries and listen to each other and figure out where we do agree, because it's very easy, you know, in our time of social media where everything is a firefight on everyone's Facebook wall or everyone's fighting in Congress, no one's actually trying to get together and shake hands and meet in the middle and figure out how different sides can come together. And I have hope. I may be one of the last ones.
No, you're not. There. You're so not at all.
I know we all do.
Well, if we all did, it'd be a different world right now. But I think the biggest problem we have is that politics and politician have become dirty words. When to me, growing up, they meant consensus. They meant negotiation. They meant civility. We've lost that definition somewhere along the way.
Yeah, we absolutely do. We absolutely have that lost that definition, and we've sort of found our way into this impasse. The idea of common ground used to be a great word, and now common ground is where people go to be weak. And I don't understand how that shifted. And you know, in our little small way, we're starting to make some audiences start talking again, and hopefully that'll start making voters talk again. And maybe,
until there's no money left for the arts.
That's right. There may not be anymore. But yeah, it's a very interesting time.
Do it now while we can, while there's still funding.
Yeah.
How long is your run at Second Stage?
It's an open-ended run at New World Stage.
I knew that.
That's okay. We're doing New World Stages, which is this beautiful complex on 50th Street between 8th and 9th.
It's a great
It was the $2 movie theater when I lived in New York some years ago. But now it's a gorgeous off-Broadway complex. We're there until, I think we're selling tickets into July right now. If things go well, I may be here even longer.
Oh, good. I'll be up in June.
There for a while.
Yeah,
exactly.
I have a feeling I'm going to be making quite a few trips to New World Stages. It's a lot of the shows that we're doing on here are going into that area, and I know that Justin's telling me I'm going to be very busy while I'm up there in July. So
you'll get to know the area very well.
Yes,
you'll have to give me a call if you need any ideas for where to eat.
Absolutely.
So it's
an extraordinary play. It's called Church and State, as I said, and you can find out all the information you might want about it on www.churchandstatetheplay.com. And I couldn't be more proud to be a part of it. It's really a provocative piece.
Do you have set performances per week? Is it a set performance schedule?
Yes, set performance schedule. It's 8 shows a week. Today is Tuesday. Tuesday's our day off, and we're performing every other day.
So you do a Wednesday to Monday schedule. Interesting.
Exactly, Wednesday to Monday. It's a quite a weekend when you have a Friday night, 2 shows Saturday, 2 shows Sunday, and then a Monday night, and you really don't know which way is up. But
so you're not doing any weekday matinees. Your matinees are just Saturday and Sunday.
No, at this point, not any weekday matinees. Yeah. I suppose they could add that if things go well, or if they want to. Mm-hmm. They're doing a very interesting thing with this production, which I've never been a part of before. But they're having sponsors from different nonprofits and charitable organizations who are sponsoring different evenings and just hosting those nights and bringing their own groups in. So everything from New Yorkers Against Gun Violence and Planned Parenthood. We're working on the ACLU and the Anti-Defamation League, and as well Sandy Hook Promise. And
I didn't hear the NRA.
Every time
I didn't hear the NRA.
They haven't returned our calls yet. They keep saying no. They say no to everything, but maybe they'll come one day, because I think it's a very even-handed examination of what's going on. Both sides are represented rather well, and from all the friends that I have from both sides of the political viewpoints, they're telling them the same thing, that like, this is fair. This play is fair.
Now the groups that are coming in, and you may or may not know this, are they buying the house and then using it as a fundraiser for themselves? Is that how it's working?
I don't think they're buying. I'm not exactly sure. I don't think they're buying the house, but I think they are giving opportunities for the audiences to make donations to the groups. Oh, and we're doing some events before the show and then post-show discussions afterwards.
Okay.
Because people watch the play and laugh and cry, and then they want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I read the interview that the writer had with Broadway World, and one of the things that I thought was very interesting was that he hopes that one day this show is obsolete. You know, it's not something that he wants it remembered and going for a long time. He wants it. You know, he wants the show to be obsolete. And I found that quote profound.
It is a profound statement that he made. Jason wants to do the show until it doesn't have to be done anymore. Yep. And well, wouldn't that be a wonderful world?
So how do you like New York versus L.A.?
Oh, that's like apples and oranges. they're both wonderful cities. I've been living in Los Angeles for the last 19 years. I was here before for about 4 years, and Chicago before. So I love both of them. It was a little colder getting adjusted back to the windy weather, the wintry weather, once I got back here. But I love the ability to walk around New York. It's really nice.
That's awesome. And then wonderful. So what have you? I mean, I know the show. It's not opened yet, correct? It's just getting ready to open.
Well, we're getting ready to open next week. We're in previews right now, so we've been doing previews for the last several weeks.
Okay.
And, we open Monday the 27th.
And have you seen a difference in audience reaction between L.A. and New York?
That's a great question. I have. I mean, the audiences are very supportive and engaged. So the audiences are the same, but I think the tone of how they respond to things has changed slightly. Between June and September of last year and the last few weeks into this year, the tone of the country is a little different.
Well, it was pre-election, post-election.
Pre-election and post-election, yeah. And I think we leaned into the drama and the horror of the shootings that are described in the show, the shooting that is described in the show, the remorse and the disdain for what had happened. We did that a lot. It was a slightly more emotional production. And this time, I think we're having a more political slant on it. It's a more reasoned, and we lean into the comedy a little bit because we need to laugh right now.
Yep.
So the country has a chance to hear what's funny in the play as opposed to hear the horror of the shootings. When we did it in Los Angeles while we were rehearsing, the attack in Nice happened and Orlando happened. So we were in the middle of all of that, and now I think we just need to laugh a little more. So we're managing to do that.
Yeah, I would love the play to come down here. We're only about 2.5 hours away from Orlando.
I'd love to see it hit a stage or some stages in Florida. I think that's one of the reasons I came to New York, is I wanted to make sure that this thing launched and it could be seen across the country.
How big a production is it in terms of sets and things like that? Is it moving? Is it transportable?
Simple. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's a 4-person cast. The set is essentially 2 different locations, but they use the same place. So it's one set. It's essentially one set with a little changing and 4 characters, and it's about 70 minutes long. So it's fast and furious, and not too expensive to mount. So it should be able to have a life in the regional theaters and get a chance to be heard all across the country.
Very interesting.
I'm thinking about a program that our Performing Arts Center does here called Peak Provocative Entertainment at the Kravis. But I don't know whether it'd be worth it, because it's typically short runs, whether it'd be worth it to try to do that.
Huh. I figure as many communities as can hear the dialogue. And,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, the dialogue of the play, not the actual play's dialogue.
I'm sorry I missed it in L.A. I'm in and out of L.A. all the time. I'm sorry that I missed it. I've just started to become a little immersed in the theater scene out there. So I'm making a concerted effort to do more while I'm there, when I'm there.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, check out the theater scene in Los Angeles.
It's amazing.
It's alive and well. Pretty amazing.
It's amazing. I just saw a production at the Hudson Theater about 2 months ago that was very interesting and provocative.
Yeah, it's a great little town. I do like living there. But in the meantime, you'll have to come to New York and see the production.
Well, I'll be in I just confirmed that I'm going to be in New York the 7th through the 12th of June, so I'll put this one on my list.
And
we'll stay open for you.
Thank you.
My wife and I will be there from the 16th to the 23rd of July.
fantastic.
So you have even more incentive to stay open longer.
Yes.
There you go.
Now the pressure's on. We got to make sure we do well. I'll do my best.
How's your advance?
Very, very good.
Good.
We've been sort of shocked at how many people have been coming and how I knew it was going to be brilliantly received, but we have had some really wonderful houses. And the tickets are selling very, very well. So I suspect we'll be here for a bit.
What size house are you in down there? Because I know they've got a bunch of different configurations.
I think it's just under 200. I haven't counted the seats, but I think we've got somewhere between 175 and 200.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got several different venues in
there. Yeah, well, they're all intimate though. No matter how you look at it, they're all intimate venues.
Very much so. You're there in the action, and you feel like you're part of it. Certainly in our space, and. Yeah. It's a terrific place to work. New Old Stages. I'm really thrilled to be there.
And it's really
I love working on this play.
And the prices aren't bad. I'm actually on the website right now. It's anywhere between $59 to $89 for a seat for the show.
Yeah, and you can usually find not for all the shows, and hopefully, but you can usually find discounted tickets on some of the discounters as well.
Exactly. Anything that's not been sold on the day of performances, they try to make sure they get people in seats because we want people to hear it.
Absolutely. So, but besides your character, who's the senator? Who else? Mm-hmm. What other characters do we see in the show?
There are two actresses: one who plays my wife, the senator's wife, and one who plays his campaign manager, who's from New York as opposed to from North Carolina. And then the fourth character is an actor who plays both an intern who's working on the campaign, as well as the reporter at the funeral, as well as a couple of other press people. Kind of picks up all the slack for the rest of us, so that we function well. So the four of us kind of work as a beautiful little ensemble together.
So this play is more looking at the political side of gun control than it is with the families and stuff like that as well. Correct.
I think that's probably the best way to put it. Yeah, people have talked about Jason's work as he's a writer like Aaron Sorkin and a writer like Judd Apatow and also a writer like Clifford Odets.
Okay.
He keeps the conversation about what the issues are, but he doesn't ever get lost in the issues. The shooting itself is incidental to the action of the play. It's really what happens when some horrific event makes someone question a lot of things, both their religious faith as well as their political background, and what happens when they start speaking out, and how that could potentially jeopardize their reelection campaign. So it's not so much about the families and about the grief, but much more about what happens when what do we do with these events? How do we make sense of these events? And how do we try to prevent them in the future?
And I think one of the things that's really, really amazing is, that it does take a look at faith and politics and everything as well. But as an actor, I think being able to really dive into the character and take a look at your own beliefs is one of the things that can be so wonderful about live theater. And I mean, has it made you really take a step back and take a look and say, what are my beliefs at this point?
Absolutely. It certainly has. In fact, it's provoked me to have conversations with some of my friends who we just have chosen not to discuss certain issues.
Mm-hmm.
We said we have to agree to disagree on this. And now it's no longer agree to disagree. It's okay. Let's not talk about what's going wrong here and what's going wrong there. Let's see here's the problem. What do you think we can do to fix it? And I've found more often than not that the answers that we both have are very similar. We actually come up with the same responses. I was talking with a friend who lives in rural Colorado, and he's a former law enforcement guy, and he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he owns a lot of guns, and he's there for protection as well as for hunting. And I want him to be armed. I want him to have the guns that he wants to have. And I said, so what do you see as a difference here? What do you want to see happen that hasn't happened yet with regard to gun safety? And he said, well, I think that stricter background checks is a good idea. And I said, good, I agree with you there. And he said, I also think we need to have first-time gun owners to have mandatory training. I said, that's a great idea. And he said, at the end of the first year, every year, they should be relicensed each year. And I said, that's a great idea. I think we agree on all three of these points. Why hasn't that happened? And we have a very, very strong lobby in Washington, and a lot of politicians are not going to stand up for what their constituents actually want, because those are two very different political views, he and I, but we agree that we need the same kind of safety. You know, it's the right to bear arms. I'm a huge fan of plutonium. I also like Sherman tanks, but I'm not allowed to have a surface-to-air missile. Okay. That's an arm. It's in the Second Amendment. Why are you blocking that? We have a different sense of what arms are now, and we have to have a reasonable conversation about what that means.
Yep.
And how we can make sure that people are as safe smoking their cigarettes as they are bearing their arms as they are driving their cars. And I think everyone would agree that we've got to be sensible about this.
No, I mean,
yeah, you'd think everyone would agree, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't think anybody who's either listening to your show or otherwise wants me to have plutonium. If they know me at all, that's not a good idea. I drop coffee if I'm not careful. You don't want me with a, you know, army guy that could go nuclear.
When my grandmother was in her final days, they wouldn't leave me alone with her with a pillow. So
without a floor covered with pillows, think, right? Yeah, that way we're all safe.
Now,
go ahead.
Is there an open invitation, I think, for the politicians in New York to be able to see this play and, you know, really to as an outreach?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've actually met a couple of different senators' wives who've come to the show, and the next step will be the senators. I know that Vice President Biden was in town last week and was invited by a member of the company who's working on the show.
Yeah, I think he was a little afraid to step into another Broadway theater.
Yeah, well, these days I don't blame him. And I know Mayor Bloomberg has plans to attend as well. So I think, yeah, I'd love, you know, if we could spare some time in Congress, I'd take the show to Capitol Hill, mm-hmm. let everybody see what we're talking about and see how that responds. But they won't return my calls either. So, yeah.
They're a little busy right now, putting out fires.
Yes, that's true. It's a very strange world we're in right now.
It's beyond strange. It is beyond mm-hmm. strange. When you go to a social gathering and, because you know that it's a mixed group, you assiduously avoid talking about anything.
you're not allowed to go to certain territories because you know it's going to provoke some kind of talk. But mm-hmm. if we can get past the arguing and get back to listening, I think we might have a future in all of this. We might have a way of having a conversation. It doesn't have to be us against the other side.
No, I think in some ways we're all somewhat guilty of it. I look at some of my old posts. Mm-hmm. I look at, you know, because where do we vent these days in social media? And I look at some of the stuff I've put up there, whether it's my own words or the words of others that I've chosen to share. And it's like, okay, that's a little inflammatory. If I were of the other persuasion, you know, mm-hmm. even though I may not consider it, so many things are mistaken for challenges today. And it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. But then again, do we dare keep our mouths shut?
Right.
That's the other thing. You know, do we not advocate for what we believe in?
Right. Right. How do we speak up in this time? It's very easy to get slammed right down, and I think we only have an option now. The stakes are too high for us not to talk. And not to find a way through. So I'm going to maintain my hope at all costs that we can get through whatever we face. But yeah, each gathering, each social gathering, each party is a little bit of a battleground. You need a lot of pillows because you might get knocked down if you say the wrong thing.
So tell us who else is in the show, unless I missed this question. Who else is in the show?
We talked about the characters, but not the actors.
No, not the actors, yeah. No, I know that who the characters are. I had to take a potty break. So.
Sure. No, it's an incredible group. Nadia Bowers plays my wife, Sarah Whitmore. Krista Scott Reed plays Alex Klein, campaign manager, and Jonathan Lewis Dent plays Tom and Marshall and reporters and all the parts that need to be put together to make the whole play work. So between Jonathan and Nadia and Krista and myself, we've got a great team.
Was this all the entire LA cast, or did you recast when you came to New York?
Recast when it came to New York. It's a new director, Marcus Potter, and he found a cast there. I came out for some readings last fall to help try to gain some investment momentum. So I did three readings last fall, and during that time got to meet Marcus, the director, and that was sort of my audition more than anything else. And so I managed to be able to be cast and come out here and do the show now. So I'm the only one from LA other than the writer, and I feel very fortunate for that and very grateful to the cast in Los Angeles who taught me so much about the play.
Nice. Who are your LA, compatriots?
My LA compatriots, Tracy Lockwood played Sarah, Annika Marks played Alex, and Edward Hong played Tom and Marshall in The Reporters. And Alina DeSantos directed it at Gary Grossman's Theater Skylight. It was a terrific world premiere, and I'm thrilled I'm still doing it. I have a feeling I want to keep doing this show, as Jason says, until it's obsolete. And I may be out there with a walker trying to get around on stage or a cane. But
we'll just call you Strom Thurmond then at that point.
Yeah. Yes, I have some good leaders to follow who stuck around a long time.
Mm. That's for sure.
And for people that, once again, are interested in finding out how to get tickets and where the show is and dates, can you give us that who, what, where, when?
At churchandstatetheplay.com. churchandstatetheplay.com, and it's at New World Stages from now until they kick us out. Yeah, check it out. There's a lot of social media going on around. There's Instagram and of course, Facebook page, so you can find it there as well. But if you just Google Church and State Play or go to www.churchandstatetheplay.com, you'll find us.
I Googled Church and State Play, and it came up right away.
It came up right away. Yeah.
If you don't put play in, I have a feeling you're going to be doing a lot of reading about essays on separation, and that's not going to encourage you as much as maybe looking at our site and checking out what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. So make sure to put in play if you can't remember anything else.
Yes, that'll help you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're writing another government paper, and that'll take you right back to high school.
So we got about 6 minutes left before we end the show. I have to ask, as an actor, do you find a little bit easier for TV or for stage?
Oh wow, that's an interesting question. You know, I don't find any of it easy. The hardest part is getting the jobs. It seems like the actor's real job is auditioning and interviewing and trying to see if they're part of the puzzle piece of whatever story is being told. I think my experience has been, I started working in the theater when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. So I feel like I've had more experience from my time on stages, but having lived in Los Angeles for nearly 20 years now, being on sets and in front of the camera is also something that I'm learning about and growing in, and people would laugh at me because they say, "You're learning and growing. You work all the time." And I said, "No, I'm still always finding new things in there. It's they're very different beasts, and both challenging in their own ways. Neither particularly easy. I think if either are easy, you're not doing it right."
Okay.
Like anything, if anything you do is too easy, you're probably not challenging yourself and coming to your full potential. So, I find them both remarkably rewarding, and remarkably challenging when you do it the right way.
Do you still study? Do you still take class and things like that when you can?
I do study, but I study more often through the classes that I teach. I teach at several different conservatories in Hollywood, teach acting and script analysis and different kinds of
areas of my field. Teachers oftentimes say they learn more from their students than they ever do from taking a class with somebody else.
I know, and I absolutely agree with that. And I know some people say, "Oh, that's crazy," but I do. I learn so much by working with students. I've learned so much by teaching, and I think that's really part of the reason I keep going back to it. I mean, they always said that the good artists borrow and the great artists steal, and I just find classes are a great place to steal from, because you've got brilliant ideas that you thought you knew something about how to play a Shakespeare scene, and then someone comes in with a choice that you never saw coming, and you think, wow, that's called invention.
Yeah.
And you never would have done that if you stopped studying, if you stopped learning. It's always in season for old men to learn. Some old guy.
What conservatories do you want to give a shout out to that you are no longer able to teach at because you're successfully working in New York?
I'm on a little hiatus from them, but I will give a shout out to the Theater of Arts and Art of Acting, as well as the NTS Theater Company, which is one of my home companies in Los Angeles, where I'm also serving as a co-artistic director. And we're about to open Cat on a Hot Tin Roof out there in our new venue in Glendale. And it's killing me that I'm not there because all my family is off performing this beautiful Tennessee Williams play, and I get to see it through pictures.
Is it just opening or in previews right now?
It's in previews right now. We started previews on Thursday.
I think a friend of mine went up to see it last night. I have to double check. Would they have won last night?
There was a performance.
I hung up the phone with her. She said, "I'm running up to Glendale to see a play."
That might have been us. Let's pretend that it was wonderful and she loved it.
Congratulations.
You may know her. She's been out there for a good long time. Joanna Sanchez. Have you ever?
Oh, I know Joanna Sanchez, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, I know her work. Fantastic.
Joanna and I met years ago. She's been my son's coach for about 14 years now, 13 years.
Holy cow, that's great.
Yeah, so.
How wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Glendale is our new home for Antius. We left North Hollywood and have two spaces now, and it's exciting to see the growth, that's for sure. But I got to get back there, and I got to get teaching there again. I miss my students.
Well, I will tell you, I will hopefully get a chance to see it when we come up to New York. But I did love your work in Buffy.
Oh, thank you so much. If anybody likes my work in Buffy, I know I like them.
Yes.
Anybody who follows Buffy, I'm like, okay, you're part of the group.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Major fan.
To be on that show.
Major fan of Buffy when it was on.
So. It validates me with some of my friends. If I hadn't been on Buffy, they wouldn't consider me an actor.
we're about to wrap up. So I want to thank you, for taking the time today and let you get ready to go on with another preview tomorrow. Thank correct?
You. And hope you have a great opening on Monday. And
thank you. For
I'll definitely put it on my schedule for my June trip.
Yep.
And if I know I'm coming, I'll give you a shout out, and maybe we can grab a drink or a cup of coffee afterwards. That'd be terrific.
I would love that.
Another one with us too.
Both of you. So
okay. Yep.
Let me know when you're in New York. I'll be there. I'll happily buy a cup of anything with you.
Okay, all right.
Super.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Have a great one.
All right. You too. Bye.
ChurchandStateThePlay.com.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay. Right, my last plug. Bye.
No problem. Bye.
Thank you. For joining us today. We are out of time.